We're not being ideological. We're not saying we should do X or Y just because that's the way we've always done it. We're asking the question, what works and what doesn't? And evidence-based budgeting means acting on the facts as we know them. For a long time, people were trying to find ways to help low-income, vulnerable parents raise their children successfully. And we found in rigorous research in many different places that a home visitor, a nurse, could go into a home, and 15, 20 years later, the child in that home would be doing better. It was a remarkable finding. And so we built a program, a home visiting program, that acted on that evidence and said that programs that use models that are proven can get additional resources. That's an example of evidence-based budgeting. But there are lots of other examples that aren't based on such rigorous research. If you track on a day-to-day basis whether or not how long it takes to get responses to phone calls to the IRS or to Social Security, and you make adjustments on based on what you learn, that's an example of evidence-based budgeting also.
I know that the administration has put a lot of emphasis on the data, you know, showing me that this project works, like HUDstat or TechStat or this or that stat. Is this now just sort of an application of that type of performance analysis to where the money is being spent?
Since the beginning of the administration, we've tried to act on evidence every way that we can. We've encouraged programs to engage in more evaluation. This is really just an effort to take that thinking and make it more systematic and say to people at every agency in the federal government, what evidence is out there about whether or not your programs work? And it can be evidence from detailed randomized controlled trials. It can be evidence from ongoing program data. It can be evidence from interviews in the field. But what is the evidence about whether or not programs are working and about how to make them work better?
Now, in your memo, you mentioned a Washington State model of ranking programs based on the evidence of their return on investment and the fact that several states are now experimenting with this. What makes this state-based model so attractive, and how can it apply to something as large as the federal government?
I think there are a few things that make the Washington State model attractive. One is that it enables us to compare across investments and ask whether one strategy is more effective than another strategy. So if you're trying to reduce juvenile delinquency or juvenile crime rates, you can look at a range of strategies from working one-on-one with kids to certain kinds of after-school programs and ask, what's the impact of those strategies? The second thing that's exciting about it is that it gets not only to whether or not programs work, but whether or not they work given what they cost, to cost effectiveness. And given the state of our budget as a whole, cost effectiveness is absolutely critical. And the third thing that the Washington model does is it creates really good incentives for programs out there around the country. It says to them, if we were to institute a model like this, it would say to them clearly that your ability to get funding is based in part on whether or not your program succeeds, and your ability to show that it succeeds, so it would encourage more investment in research and evaluation, which we think would lead to better outcomes over the long run. I think you're right that there's no way we could do this kind of research in every area, but the question is, where can you start and where can you build? And what we'd like to do is to begin to build.
I'm speaking with Robert Gordon, and he's Executive Associate Director at OMB. So what fields do you think that you can start in?
Well, criminal justice is one that they have done a lot of work in Washington State. There are areas where we as an administration have already done a lot of evidence-based programming and where the research base is quite rich. Early childhood, I mentioned home visiting. Teen pregnancy prevention is another area. We've done a lot of evidence-based programming in education. So I think there's a range of areas. And then if you look outside of social services, areas like housing and homelessness prevention, environmental protection. So I think there's a range of areas where we can do this work.
I want to ask you about a couple of the different things that agencies are doing, and again, that you mentioned in your memo. You talk about agencies that are allotting grants on a tiered system based, I guess, not on the need that the grantee is describing that they'll treat, but on how they're using performance and metrics. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so these are what we call tiered evidence initiatives, and we're running them in areas from home visiting to education to international development. And basically we say to programs, the more evidence you can show that your program is succeeding, strong evidence that's rigorous, that reflects strong research techniques, the likelier you are to get funding and the more funding you'll be eligible for. It's not the only thing that counts. You mentioned need. Obviously, that's important. Obviously, the quality of a program's management is critical. You can have the best evidence in the world, but if you don't have strong managers and you don't have a strong organization, strong financial capacity, you won't run a good program. So it's one part of the puzzle, but it's an important part. And the more evidence you have, the more funding you can get. And it does two things. One, it makes it likelier that federal taxpayer dollars will be spent on programs that actually work. And two, it sends this signal to the field that I mentioned. I think if you talk to people in nonprofit organizations in the fields where we're running these programs, there's greater attention to research and evaluation. And that's a very good thing over the long term for the effectiveness of not just the government sector, but the nonprofit sector.
Another thing that you recommend in this memo that agencies do or consider is pay for success. And you mentioned that Justice and Labor are exploring this pay-for-success approach. What is that?
Pay-for-success is a model that says that federal funding will be provided only after a program gets results. And in the short run, other investors, whether it's state and local governments or in many cases philanthropists, foundations, others, will be providing the operating funds. So it's a very pure form of pay for performance where taxpayers only pay if the program gets results. It's quite complicated. It requires a complicated contracting to set out outcome measures that are really strong, to make sure you're looking over time at how programs are performing, to make sure that those measures you're using aren't subject to gaming, that you don't have programs selecting participants or playing other games to try to show that they've got results that they don't really have. But it's something that we think can work. And it's been pioneered in Great Britain. There are states around the country that are looking at doing it. And the Department of Justice has put out an RFP, a request for proposals, to attract pay-for-success proposals in the area of preventing recidivism. And very, very soon, the Department of Labor will do the same in worker training.
Okay. And just in sort of a big picture OMB view of this, if agencies do the things that you're recommending, if they incorporate more evidence into their 2014 budget proposal, describe for me the difference that you hope to see between the 2014 and the 2013 budget proposal now being talked about in Congress.
Well, as I said, I think it's an evolution, not a revolution, but budgets are very tight. Discretionary spending is very, very tight, going to the lowest levels we've seen since the Eisenhower administration. And so it requires that we spend every dollar as effectively as we can. And that means that we want to make sure that when an agency says we want to put resources into program A, we want more funding for A and less funding for B, that if there's evidence out there that bears on that question and shows whether or not A is in fact more effective than B, we want to know about it. And we want agencies to be acting on it. And to be honest, agencies have been doing this for a long time in a lot of areas. To a large degree, this is just about systematizing what we're already doing. But we do think the extra push will help and will make a difference for the way government works and for taxpayers.